Welcome to Overload on Air, episode 10, Mr. Siski Goes to Belfast, or the first episode of Overload on Tour.
Ew.
Team Hello. NI edition. So, I'm Siski, or as I'm known up here, Cisco 3000.
Yes.
Or the dependable and faithful Siski. Yeah. Yeah. Unlike when I go back home, where I will once again be the treacherous and villainous Siski. So I'm here with two members of Team Northern Ireland for the World Team Championships, which will be taking place in Poland in October. I'm here with Mike O'Brien.
Hello.
And Adam Fox.
Hello. And the stylish one of the group.
Yeah, he is.
Brian Fantana.
His little,
that's what I'm aiming
with
for.
With his quiff and his little beard.
Little beard.
It's like, if I were an Indian, little beard.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I see.
Just a beard is really far away.
So, I am on the Team Northern Ireland by various circumstances, which...
Yeah, those circumstances are very simple. Simple, we said... We need another player. Let's get Cisco on the case. Let's get it done. We did not go around the world for a shortcut.
No. Team Northern Ireland has a very unique selection process of putting on the Facebook page, who wants to be in Team Northern Ireland? And we got five applicants. And we went, great, that's us. And then one dropped out like 4 weeks later. So we had to scramble around to try and find another player. Because by that stage, we'd already paid the deposit. Not wasting €20.
But just in case, like, edit this part and then be like, if anyone is listening, actually listening, say there was at least 40,000 applications.
Of course.
You had to whittle it down. Yeah. Like some kind of civil servant post. You know, there was the two exams and then there was the interview and then there's no actual games played. That's how you mean to go on.
Well, it's not based on your war machine aptitudes, you know?
No.
God knows, that's how I got on the team. Like,
We actually had five people from Northern Ireland, and then the fifth couldn't commit to going. So we asked Siski, because Siski's brilliant. Yeah. We love Siski. The treacherous and faithful Siski.
At once, I'm a paradox.
Yeah.
And Joe Meg was sick that day.
Yes, we did ask somebody else before Siski, who said no, he couldn't come. And then we only learned like 2 weeks ago that he's now going to the solo Masters event at the same...
Same weekend,
same location. It's like, oh, thanks, Tomek.
It's hard not to feel snubbed in that situation, I think.
Yeah,
well, a little bit. A
little bit. But we have five people now.
That's the main thing.
So we're going to go, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And we're going to play some games. The outcomes of the games are up in the air. We might lose. We'll most likely lose.
I don't think it will. I think I'm not one for being overly confident, but I think it's
100% going to win.
100%.
We're there to win.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Exactly.
I've listened to the likes of Flanzer talking it up. I've read Pat Dunford's list,
so you know,
and like, oh yeah, you done that because it works. Well, I do this because I love tier 1 Apex Predators. Yeah.
I think it's important to point out here that Adam is a mainly Minions player.
Yeah.
Who has only recently bridged out into
Big Boy. I know, so people would like to know. So what do you guys play? Mike, what do you play?
I currently am playing Scorn. That I purchased from Adam after he realized that the big boy faction wasn't for him. And before that I was playing Legion, and before that I was playing Menoth. And then other ones that I dabbled in, but not as seriously as these ones.
Yeah, and Adam?
I've dabbled in just about everything. Yeah. I've become the faction switcher in
which is
a world.
Impressive, considering I've played, I think, 9 different factions at different points.
And the fact that I'm now known as the faction switcher terrifies me. But it's really Minions, and for the WTC, I think it's going to be Kador. I think I'm going to regret that decision. Well, no, it will be Kador until a day before the WTC, where I wig out and I go, I want the change. And
someone starts, you're not,
exactly, I'll be logged in. But no, yeah, I think it'll be Kador for the foreseeable future. That's the plan anyway. As long as John doesn't go, get off me,
get off.
Because he talks like an Englishman. He's like, ooh, Gapna.
He's a Cockney Englishman.
Yeah.
That's our John.
So, and then the other two members of Team NI are John, who plays
John Foster,
a lot of factions as well.
Well, no, he plays Kador, but he only
plays Kador and looks at all the factions.
Gotcha. Okay.
He has Retribution and
Signar.
Yes, Signar also that he got from me.
And you all
the factions that I used to play.
You all have a bit of mercs.
I no longer have any mercenaries. I sold them all to you.
Yeah, that's true. But everyone has a wee touch of the mercs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Touch of the you mercs. Can get a cream for that, I hear.
It's annoying me because if I go back playing Manoth, I'm going to have to rebuy the likes of Ian and Holt and stuff.
I'll
sell you them back.
for profit.
For profit.
Item 4
on the agenda.
Profits, that's true. We have a very official agenda for people who can't see this, which is everyone, because this is a radio.
So, step one of our... But actually, step one of our agenda is to describe the Northern Irish meta. Step two is talking about WTC preparedness, what you can do at home. Step three is a bunch of question marks, and step four is profit. So, we're on to a winner here. It's good. And then Ian plays Circle.
And
it's very true to Circle.
Yeah. Is it just pigs or do you have gators?
Well, he has a unit of gators, but I think they were for Circle.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, he plays Pharaoh. You know, he picked the powerhouse of the minions.
Yeah. And, Jesus. You know, I mean, they are the power faction.
He continually goes on, not all the time. He has mentioned at least twice in the past year that he has played Arcadius and had some semblance of success. That's not really the same thing.
He wasn't assassinated.
Is this just playing against Tomek?
Well, no, they have their own weird Dundalk meta that I've never really, they have their own club. They play it every week, so there's more people down there.
There are other people, are there?
Yeah, it's not just
the Dundalk meta, I think, is larger than Sliders. It's the same world, different dimension. You know?
So it's not like, it's not just them with a variety of fake mustaches and wings.
Where Ian goes, Tomek, it's your turn, and Tomek walks in the next day in a bowler hat and a false mustache and goes, hello, I am Kevin. And then it's like, oh, hello, Kevin. I was playing Tomek yesterday.
He looked like you without the fetching mustache.
Yeah. Or the finer English accent.
The finer English accent.
Yeah, and then I play Menoth, as you probably know if you've ever listened to us before.
You ever played anything else?
I've played other factions, but never...
Dabbled?
Not even. Like, okay, it's basically been borrowed for a game. I've never owned... I had a score in BattleBox because I wanted to be a press ganger at one stage, and then I was like,
"You had to paint the battle."
And what does Scorn do? Oh, they have this unit of pain givers that like makes their beaks beast super functional. Oh, that sounds familiar. Maybe I'll play something else. And I talked about switching to trolls a while ago, and that never happened because I bought yet more and more Menoth stuff. I keep absorbing other Menoth players' collections. So,
which isn't what you said earlier. You said you were absorbing other Menoth players.
I did. Well, I'm also doing
fear for the.
I'm also doing
it's like,
that.
It's like there's this massive swathe of them down south, but you're now even fewer of them.
Yeah,
they're all getting out of faction, including myself.
It happens.
Which is one thing actually I had to clear up. I think like in episode 3, Siski said that I was the best Menoth player on the island. I'd like to refute that and say no, that's not true. Wasn't a very good Menoth player at all.
No, well, yeah, you might be, because I don't think I've played Menoth. So, witty banter.
Witty banter.
The home of witty banter.
What about the Northern Irish meta, then? I'd like to know a bit, and I'm sure our listeners would like to know a bit about the Northern Irish meta. And does it exist? Is it just the five of you guys?
How do you sum up the Northern Irish meta? It's like an onion. There's so many layers.
So many layers.
And it goes off very quickly. And by the end of it, everyone's crying.
Yeah. After each layer of onion, there's just less and less and less.
It's a lot like a post-apocalyptic Fallout world. There's a lot of different groups and factions. Yeah. And
hiding away in vaults with their own weird experiments.
Yes, and everyone, some can only say Dave.
Yeah.
Some play the game without dice. Others are role players.
Yeah.
It's an awful meta. But it has the potential.
It is getting better. I mean, we have had a tournament at Newton-Ars North Town Wargaming Club. Little plug there for that.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to go to Newton-Ars. We had a tournament there, 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We had Jason and Lenny kind of from the south. And it wasn't like an awful lot of us, but there's players who come to tournaments if and when they're organised that we don't see very often.
Well, there was two new players down there. I say two new players. One of them had played at QCon, but again, QCon was very small.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of separate groups that we just need to
I think the problem is that even those little groups, they don't really play.
No.
Like you and I mean, we would play at least once a week.
Yep.
But like they play War Machine and Hordes, but it's like an off game for them.
Yeah,
it's 40k
if they're bored of Magic the Gathering, let's play
something
a bit.
Else. Yeah,
yeah, let's play a bit of that.
And so, they'll come to tournaments if, when they're organized for good fun, but they're not. It's not like, you know, we don't have the biggest problem in Northern Ireland is we don't have a central location like Gamers World that stocks War Machine.
Yeah,
so. There's no place where everyone can go and actually pick up stuff, you know, in meet space and meet people and then actually play games. It's like, oh, we'll look it on and I'll see if anyone there wants a game. It doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
So it's like people live in Newton Arts and I can't get there unless someone drives me there or they're in other places like Derry, Londonderry, Stroke City.
This joke.
So you can't really get to them, but I'm sure they do exist.
Oh, dinosaurs. They definitely exist. It's just bringing them all together, but. I mean, that's something we can push for. The likes of Nordicon. Which is going to be the new... Well, it ran last year, but it was Fantasy and 40K. This year, it's going to have its first War Machine tournament.
Cool.
And I think that'll help.
When's that going to run?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, it's this.
It's towards the end of July.
July.
Or June. No, July.
No, it's definitely July. But it's maybe say the second or third weekend of July. And I think that'll be good if we can get the word out of bringing the actual competitive players together from up north.
Sound.
But I don't know whether that'll be a lot.
And where is that going to be?
That's going to be in Belfast. It's from the Queen's, same guys as the QCon, but QCon has turned its back on.
Well, QCon.
If they say that, I mean, it's not.
No, they have turned their back. They have shunned us. We are officially shunned. We're fearless. Just like Marty McFly, we started disappearing.
So we need the parents to kiss.
During the undersea dance.
During the fish under the sea dance.
If it hadn't been for Biff trying to rip me. And that would have happened.
Jesus.
that's basically what
But yeah, no, it's not the QCon has deliberately snubbed Wargamers. It's that there's construction going on.
They say that.
During...
I put one in the fridge. That's
good. Oh, very good. I thought you just stole one of my
beers. No.
They haven't deliberately snubbed Wargamers. It's under construction or something, or getting repaired at the time.
There's less
they
room.
Have
there's
cut
less
down.
Room.
There's no room for the full con.
Right, so but
I
mean, they have to make room for people dressed in Sailor Moon costumes.
Yeah.
Well,
they
take precedence.
But
you get to look at girls in costumes.
Underage
girls.
Well,
I don't think I can look at these
actually,
people without getting arrested.
Unless I can boat you over to England.
That was the thing. The one time we went to QCon, we were standing there.
Where did you
looking,
go to QCon?
Years ago.
2 years ago, I think.
No. Longer. Is my second or third year. Yeah, it was actually, I know exactly when it was. It was, apparently I don't. 2008 or 2009.
Okay, so that would have been the first year I was there, but I didn't play.
But we were standing there and we were watching, you know, we were looking at this girl and we were like, all right, she's definitely.
You're playing the yes.
But are we, yeah, exactly. But, I think Dublin Comic Con was on this weekend, actually.
Yeah.
And when I was getting a lift to the train this morning, we passed, on my road in Bray, we passed all these kids,
GLBS.
I want to say 15 or 16,
GLBS, yeah.
Dressed as like Sailor Moon. And my dad was like, what the fuck is that?
he said, oh, that Tesco's
and he was
next
like,
there fighting
and I was
evil
like,
by moonlight.
And I was like, oh, they're going to Comic Con, I'd say. And he's like, is that the sort of thing you do? I was like, no. He's like, thank God.
He's like, Siski, open your bag right now.
Yeah,
he's
he
like,
calls
no, my costumes.
My dad calls me Siski, you're right.
Yes, that's
exactly.
That's
young
Siski. I'm sorry, my impression of your father wasn't bang on.
Everyone knows he calls him Sisko
3000.
In a Norton accent.
Siski.
Which is another thing.
Which is something we have to get
onto. We
have
to get onto here. Yes.
Owen Brennan.
Your accents from up north are absolutely atrocious. But my main fear from this going up and people listening to it is that people will hear us talking and agree with him. His accent is bang on.
Well, that's the thing though. Whenever we're doing what we think is a funny Irish accent, I'm sure that people are like, that just sounds the same to me.
No,
you know?
No, I can hear. You can hear. Well, I can hear the difference because you know I'm fantastic.
But I mean, What your Irish accents are nothing like what I was used to. Like I was telling you earlier, I went out with a girl from Navan, and they had the thickest accents I have ever heard. She'd be like, "Oroya naha," and I was like, "What does that mean?" And she'd be like, "Oh, he's just called you a gypsy." It's like, "All right, is this like a peace offering, or do I extend my hands?" And then
no, it's like that bit in is it what's James, is it? I'm not sure if love one of the early Sean Connery James Bond movies.
And yeah, where he gets called the knacker.
No. It's like go to like a gypsy
Bond,
camp.
You knacker.
No, is it? It's almost early Sean Connery, but they go somewhere and there's two girls.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they will settle this
the gypsy way.
Yeah, and then just these two girls like in like you know.
It's the man with the golden gun.
It is
the man with the golden gun.
I thought it was Sean Connery's.
And she shoots her third nipple.
And you know they fight like basically mud wrestle and it's like oh of course ancient gypsy wrestling technique
the code
whereas we all know as people who live in the country where gypsies live that they fight with slash hooks which are agricultural implements
and tarmac
they fight bare chested with slash hooks
and guns
the
gypsy way the traditional way
the traveller way you can't say gypsy here
no that's right the travelling community way
Time honored.
How did we get here? What were we talking? No,
we were talking about
Brennan.
Brennan.
We had to call Brennan and his weird ass.
We had to call Brennan out on his weird sayings. That fierce.
Fierce on time.
That's fierce on time.
I love those though. And, I was talking with the students earlier. Yeah. Weird southern slang. That is it, fantastic.
Anything can be turned into.
Yeah, like gas. And you had an entire section of a previous podcast just explaining to people what these things meant.
But there's so much more. Like, we didn't even scrape the iceberg. Like, there's people in Wicklow say pure. That's true. That's pure.
Oh, I mean, you get that up here as well.
Sort of, do you?
Yeah. You're pure. That's pure mental, hey? You know, something like that.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, we were waiting for our lift outside the Irish Masters, and Brennan walked past on his way home. I was like, "So how did you do?" And we said, "Why we went?" And he's like, "Savage," and walked away. And it's like, was that a threat? What just happened?
Had you never heard that before?
I mean, I understood what he meant. I mean, I'm not an imbecile, but it was class. I love those kind of slang.
There are an awful lot of words like that, like deadly and savage, and like just basically kind of.
They also are very aggressive.
Like, gas is the one that really just like I cannot get my head around. Like, I can be in a bar,
I think
have a few drinks, and someone goes gas, and they go, run. The canary's dead.
I think it comes from the Irish for nice is jass. So I think it comes from that. And
fair enough.
Yeah,
that and the dead canary.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Do you actually speak Irish? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
I speak Irish as well.
No, you
just
don't.
Don't.
So you're like David Irvine.
Yeah. The famous race car driver. because I went out with her, she would constantly be insisting that I learn Irish. So I learned all the words: August, Gossin. Come on, tap L2. August Rockfuss fuck, which is you're looking really bad. All the words.
Those words. Is what you have done there is given a comprehensive rundown of the entire Irish vocabulary.
Yeah, take that, memorize it. A level done. Do you have A levels?
Leaving cert.
You have leaving cert with all those weird numbers. Yeah. The numbers.
Weird numbers.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I need 144 to get into this.
Like,
it's like, what are you talking about?
It makes more sense than what we have. Is I need to get like 2 A's and 4 C's, whatever, to get into.
Does that make more sense?
Well, yeah.
Then, like, I need 365.
Yeah, because every grade has a points level attached.
You would say that. What's this got to do with War Machine? Fate! Chain attack!
I hope, not that it'll ever happen, but if any of the hosts or anyone who has anything to do with Chain Attack listens to this, if there's some sort of copyright infringement, it's Adam Fox is the one who keeps saying it.
Yeah. His home address is.
I was going to say, you don't know my home address, but you're in my home.
Yeah, I'll just go out. I don't know.
I know the address.
Is this my
phone? What power do I have?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because you've had two.
No, that's okay. Where's your third?
In the fridge.
Is it?
Or you're holding it right now. Have you drunk my other
one? I have enough for...
I got three.
You did, but we're missing one.
Are we? Is there one in the bin? This is excellent radio, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. It's definitely not, but I've only had two.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue talking.
I don't know.
I'll find it in the meantime.
Yeah. He's fully in there. You've been blind, like when we played out in the week, and I was like, "Oh, I've read somewhere that these jacks have armor." And they dropped
so,
17.
Yeah, so I was playing Kalam jacks for the first time ever, and I was like, "I'm convinced I've read somewhere that reliable source that is Battle College. I'm convinced Battle College said these go down to armor 17. I cannot see this. It doesn't say they go down to armor 17 when they attack."
So I walk around the table to go to the card. I look at
the card.
It looks, it's right there. It's in this sense. Like, show me that. Show me that. In case I was lying.
Well, you are. You are a known liar.
You're notorious. Yeah. Like Puff Daddy.
Or, you know, Notorious Big or B.I.G. The guy's actually got that name.
Listen to you. I just correct you. Notorious Big.
That's his name.
Hello, Notorious Big.
Right, so our next, we're going to talk about...
We've talked about Notorious Big.
Yeah, that was what section 3 was. All right, Notorious B.I.G.
That's not even going to be the whitest thing I've said this entire podcast.
There it is.
Yeah.
I've just found the beer that was missing.
It's
in the
all
fridge.
Right. It was in the fridge
where it was the whole time.
We should have a section on your handkerchief, by the way.
I usually carry around a handkerchief with me because I tend to sweat a lot, and I think it's better to have something to actually wipe my brow with. So that I'm not just sitting there like a complete stinker.
I know loads of guys that sweat a lot, and none of them dab their brow.
Well,
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I like it.
How often do you wash this handkerchief?
Oh, I have loads of them. I have many handkerchiefs.
I have many handkerchiefs. It
sounds
like
a chat
line. I told
you that wasn't going to be the whitest thing I'd said.
That was quick, though.
I have a lot of handkerchiefs, all right, because, you know, they get dirty, like any other item of clothing does. And every time I use the handkerchief...
Of clothing?
Like any other item...
Does it count as clothing?
It's an accessory.
Yeah.
I guess. Why are we discussing this?
Why not?
Because it's important. It's important. But yes, every time I do, Adam reminds me that I am actually a fop that fell three times from 1940.
You're a 1950s gent.
Yeah, apparently so.
Nothing I've seen of you
Thank
persuades
you.
Me to the contrary.
No!
You should let him finish!
I jumped the gun!
I mean, is that the way your hair naturally grows?
Yes!
No, he's got a brilliant wee comb! The Irish mask! No one combs their hair anymore! It's out of fashion! You don't see it anymore!
I'm sorry that I'm not in vogue!
Listen, I like it. It's your charm.
It's my charm.
It's just, I don't see people combing their hair anymore,
it's
you know?
Straight
it's
in
like
the middle of the 20th century.
I mean, you're James Dean. You should die in a car accident any day now, you know? With the bags under your eyes.
The
girls are like, oh, he's so fit. Yes, you're saying that because he's dead, but look at the bags under his eyes.
I read somewhere recently that James Dean only ever acted in like 3 films or something.
Yeah, it was 2.5.
Citation needed.
Rebel Without a Cause and Giant.
Those 3. Rebel Without a Cause and Giant. It was also Pocahontas. Where he played Pocahontas.
Stop fiddling with stuff.
I can't say. Sorry, I'm not used to this. So.
Everything you do can be heard.
So next we're going to talk about WTC preparedness. So today we're having our first team training session.
Yeah.
A lot of kinks to be ironed out.
Yeah.
Just a
we were kindly joined by Tomek, who is Ian's buddy from Dundalk, and I was about to say meta mate, but that sounded a bit weird.
He's not a superhero.
Bring out the meta mate.
But yeah, so there were 6 of us, so we could play, you know, in 3 pairs.
Yeah. I wanted to play 5 rounds.
Yes, the idea was to play 5 rounds, Ryan Robin.
Was convinced we were playing 3 rounds, and then I heard that was out the window.
That went to the dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. We started late, in fairness. Sissy decided to take a bus made out of cardboard and paper. Welcome to the island of Ireland.
Yes,
where these things aren't taken off the road, apparently.
That was a new bus. I don't know what was going on.
I also don't understand. Every time I'm addressing the listeners, I look at the microphone.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Because
it's
like, I need to be polite.
Man, Kieran will point this thing and like gesture with his hands. You know? He doesn't understand all our listeners
just
are in fact contained in this small device.
Trapped.
Yeah, so we only got to start. Well, I arrived at 2. John was giving me a lift from the train station. Thank you very much, John. And so you were about halfway through your round when
we were,
when we arrived. So it was.
Should I talk to you or
first games?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure, battle reports. These are things that I can never remember.
I do enjoy battle reports, actually.
I like listening to them, but I'm not sure I have a good enough memory to recall.
I'll talk through mine, sure. I controlled the game from start to finish. I played Tomek in the first game, and he used Gorton, and I used Isorsha with Sounds, Dudes, all defense 15 or higher, just because I'm being a dick this weather. And I thought, oh yeah, this is going to be great. And then he faded. He charged something. Maybe it was the objective or something near the objective to get Gorton up to the furthest Gorton has ever been in a game. He was in the zone.
At this point, Ian, actually, in our game, Ian told me to pause
the clock to look at where Gorton.
How far up the board Gorton was.
Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
He
was 22 inches up the board.
Yeah, he was towing the zone. It was destruction that he was towing the zone.
21 inches
up the board. And the whole idea was to catch Sorsha in the feet. And if he had, it would have been game over, because I think I was camping one, so it was over. And yeah. I'd completely forgotten about the feed, even though before the game I'd said, oh, I better watch out for that feed. I wanted to pick my butcher list, but I couldn't bring my butcher list because John had all the butcher stuff in the car. So I was like, I used the age-old, you know, oh, what list do I go for? The models that I have here. There's the secret tech for everyone.
Yeah.
I like how this is under a WTC preparedness.
Yeah. Well, have the models that you need.
Yeah. Pro tip. Again, look at the fucking microphone. Pro tip for everyone at home, bring the models you want to play with.
Yeah, so he missed Sorsha with the feet. He killed everything. He killed 8 of the Kayazi. He killed, two nests that he caught. And he killed 8 of the Winter Guard, he killed Beast O'Neill, he killed everything, but unfortunately, because he hadn't caught Sorsha, it was Gorton with his ass in the wind, and I kissed him with Ion and Holt, and then sort of charged him on their feet, absolutely monged him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he deserved to win that game, but he didn't, and that's the main thing.
Squeak the shoe.
It's very similar to my game. I played Ian, was playing Circle, and he chose to play his Epic Morvana list, which is different than it usually is. It usually has the Wald Wrath in it.
It does. Yeah.
Usually does. It doesn't anymore. I thought you were just contradicting it.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong, sir.
But he dropped the Wald Wrath, and there was this Warpwolf Stalker in there, and instead he had the Tharn Blood Pack.
Yes,
awesome.
I really
good. Well, I think they're cool. They did a lot of work in our game anyway. And I was running Supreme Optimus Zal with 2 units of Annihilators, max unit of Immortals, all the Ancestor Guardians, Sakaar, Shaman Kreia, and
Raider.
Something else. Raider, thank you. I shouldn't have won the game. It went down. I ran everything forward. The start of the game, the first turn, he got a chance to tax. He prayed my one of the unit Malleers, and he was throwing using the Tharn Blood Trackers. What they called? The one with spears.
The wee girls.
Yeah.
Spear chuckers. Spear chuckers. Shut up.
Yeah, I called spear chuckers and then realised that it's a racial epithet and I shouldn't use it on radio. Thanks, Adam.
The Tarn Fuzzy Wuzzies. Yeah.
Well, it's accurate. They throw spears.
They don't chuck them.
Whatever. Anyway, and he called 2 Annihilators, and I made 2 tough checks in a row, and I was like, brilliant, this is going to set me up for the rest of the game. I'm going to actually make tough checks the first time. And then I didn't make tough checks for the rest of the game. And it's a case of running things up and jamming the Tharn Blood Pack and trying to jam everything else. And then on my feet turn, I had everything jammed in the zone. He moved in the wolf, skinwalkers, to kill the Ancestral or the Immortals that were in the zone. And he forgot to purify first, so with Inviolable Resolve and Armor 19. And he was like, crap, I forgot to do that first. So he needed 7s to kill, and then proceeded to roll nothing lower than a 7. So every attack he made, they all died. And then by the time my feet turn came around, I was like, sweet, I've got loads of tokens to use my feet turn, but I've got fuck all models to use it with. But I was able to clear out an awful lot of the zone, and then the next turn he put things down, and he kept killing all my guardians and I dead, and the Kobaz came out and then died, as he does. Eventually it came down to, he had all his beasts in the zone, and I had bugger all left. and I ended up at the end of the game I only had the Cyclops and Zal.
It was really
stupidly close by the end of it, yeah. He kept activating stuff. He ended up getting clocked out, but I had been playing the Zal list against Adam, and he had been using War Machine factions for a long time previously, and I know living the dream with the Extolar Soul Wards and Zal, being able to use that ghost shot with the strength and everything against War Beast, haven't got to do it before. Having the Stalker come into the zone and kill two of my Guardians, the next turn I just stood still, even though he was still engaged, stood still with both of them, boosting the hit. Boost hit, boost damage with Zal, boost hit with the Soul War with his one soul, just took him off the table with two shots.
Wow.
Against living models. There.
Yeah, it was because really he'd warped for strength, so it was I was able to do dice plus one. It was just, dealt him off the table, and then he only had the Gorax left, and I had the Cyclops.
Do you get it for warping for strength?
Yes, because it's your current strength, not your base strength.
Oh,
because there are some things that are, I think it is anyway. I may have cheated. I won't check it now. But yeah, so I took it off the table, and then, yeah, he didn't have the time to do an assassination run, because I was still camping four transfers, and there was always at least one beast that he either had to kill first or kill me, and he didn't have the time, so he clocked out on that one.
Do you think you would have won that game?
I had three models. I had the Cyclops, and I had Zal left. The Shaman and Zal, and nothing else.
See, this is the thing about Death Clock, right? Mm-hmm. It's if you're going to play it, it has to be a legitimate win. Because you listen to a lot of podcasts, and they're like, oh, I don't like Death Clock. I don't like winning by Death Clock.
Yeah.
If I felt like I was going to win by Death Clock, but I wouldn't have won the game, I don't feel... But you have to... Like,
that's part of the game. If you're playing Deathclock,
that is part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, you get the freedom with the time, because if you're too free with your time, you're going to fucking lose.
And another thing, if you're playing Deathclock, you're building your list with Deathclock in mind.
Yeah.
I find. So if you're going with 50, 60 dudes, you have to know you can move them and get everything done within the Deathclock time.
I feel it's important to point out that it wasn't that, like, I was massively at one time on Ian. I only had like 3 minutes left on my clock as well, because we both spent a lot of time in the other think tank during that game, because I realised that...
Well, I mean, the game against Tomek, I think our game ended, he had 3 minutes and I had 22. So, yeah. I mean, I even offered, I was like, do you want to pause my clock while we work out the feat? Because his feat is so, and he caught so many dudes that it was all moving. He's like, no, it's my feet. I have to do it on my own time. I was like, well, you know, that's very straight of you. Yeah, well, yeah, it's true, but I wasn't playing it too...
You were just going to be a nice guy.
It was rough and real. You nice guys. but yeah, it's just, if you're going to take the dudes, you're going to have to be able to do them within the
I hate the idea of playing the Judicator in time turns. It's like, because with the secondary deviation.
And it goes into list building. I think it's knowing
when something isn't worth even doing.
Mm.
Like, if a deviation is going to go off, and it's like, well, it's not going to do enough damage, there's no point rolling these dice.
Well, I think Ian even said himself in your game, there's a few shots he took that he just wouldn't have taken again. They didn't influence the game, but they influenced his clock.
Well, he said that, but one of the turns he used all his Tharn blood trackers to kill my Kreia, because and he said that he shouldn't have done that because it wasted time, but I think he should have, because on that turn he was my only transfer target and he was still in full health, and taking him out of the game means I didn't have any transfer targets, but
the overspill with Zal
is
pretty nasty anyway.
That's true.
So my first game I played John, so I was playing
We all went to get food.
Yeah, we showed up and they played for another 15 minutes and then we were playing. So it was basically Mike Purrier's Harbinger list from last year's WTC, except with the Vessel of Judgment and all the Warjacks taken out and a Devout and Adjudicator. The Adjudicator is on Initiate Tristan Durant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually have Initiate Tristan Durant yet because it's proxied. Anto was on to me during the week. He's like, have they arrived yet? I was like, oh no, well, yeah, they have, but I decided you don't deserve it anymore. I'm going to give it away as prizes.
I'm melting it down and putting it into something else.
So, I'm throwing it out the window.
So John was playing Old Witch with the Winch Guard Death Star.
Yeah. John looked very aggressive in your game.
Well, no, personally. Is he...
The fact when he tried to stab you after turn one, I thought, that's too aggressive, John.
Well, he was...
At least use your own clock.
He was and he wasn't, right? Because, okay, his list was...
He stabbed but missed.
Winterguard Death Star, Winterguard Rifle Corps, which I've never actually seen before. What else? Greylord Outriders, Doom Reavers, Widowmakers, Widowmaker Marksman, Kael Baelock, and a Berserker. And then I had Harbinger and stuff. The Exemplar Boat, you know.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. And an Exemplar Errant Seneschal, which was important. And so,
yes.
So John basically forced up the Doom Reavers and the Greylord Outriders. And then they were immensely frustrated by the errants just standing there and refusing to die. I was using martyrdom like nobody's business. And yeah, basically the only things I had in the zone were like a couple of errants and the errant seneschal. And so then he popped his feet. So I sort of stayed in place. Yeah. Basically allowed one errant to die to test.
You would have the matchup of fates where I think no one moves.
Yeah, exactly. And so, then you want to die. But he feated first. Yeah, so I moved one errant to kind of test the waters. He died. so
pretty you boy.
But my reclaimer got a soul out of that, so that was alright. Okay, you know, it's actually like
do they get a soul from the feat? Because you get friendly souls from enemy attacks.
Do you not?
It's all kicking off.
You get souls from enemy attacks. Force
it.
Continuous effect.
Automatic. And
collateral damage. I'm not sure the feat counts.
Does it not count as an attack, no?
I don't know. That's something worth checking, though.
Someone out there is going, instead of saying, they know the answer.
Anyway, that was the only one. That was the only one to die to defeat. The rest of them died legitimately.
Well, he died legitimately. It was his soul's destination was in question.
Purgatory.
John, I didn't cheat you, I swear. And basically just the freedom to have Judicator just be given focus from the Redeemer, also having armor 21. Like, actually, I barely used Tristan's focus even. He had Tristan's spell on him.
Yeah.
Like cast in the first turn, and then the rest of the time Tristan didn't use his focus. Tristan was just at the back with the cloud of support, you know.
That's the one thing I wrote, because I like the idea of taking Tristan with Judicator, because number 21 Judicator is good times.
Yeah.
And it's, but the main concern everyone has with taking a junior with a colossal is take out the junior, but obviously.
Well, like, Martin, if you hide him behind the colossal.
It's going to be very difficult to happen.
Unless they have Taran, like, who's gonna know he's there?
I mean, it's difficult to get there, but if you do, it's kind of a thing. But even with the Harbinger, you have the extra added protection of martyrdom.
Yeah.
That's so annoying.
So yeah, then, so he feated first, and then I kind of rotated around a bit, moved the errands a bit, half the errands that weren't in the feat a bit further up, and then, basically started to, I think it was that turn, actually, where I shot the old witch down to 2 head points or something like this. HP. HP.
Printers.
It's a type of P. And then the next turn I feated. So then that kept all the Winter Guard back because there was no point in them, you know. So basically I whittled down the Great Lords and the Doom Reavers and Scrapjack and Berserker were up in the zone. The Iron Seneschal was the only thing I had in the zone. But I was I martyred him too much.
All right. did you die?
A bit of
no,
pride.
I didn't. I didn't martyr him too much exactly. But like the last turn where I could have given John 2 control points and I was fairly confident I could kill the old witch next turn, I should have just let him die. I was run out of errants, because I ran out of errants because, you know, you can just sacrifice errants in his his command range.
It's easy enough to get in Tall Vision. It's just like, I don't want to lose points. I got to do this. And then just go on autopilot.
So but that was actually my first game with the Harbinger.
That was your first ever game with the Harbinger?
Yeah.
Oh, flip one.
For
being such a bad caster.
Turn 3.
Turn 3.
Yeah, like I had that in my head. It's like, this is what I've always heard. Keep the feats late as possible. And certainly with him feating first, there was no point. So, John afterwards said he should have played Butcher 3, perhaps.
Everyone goes on about how scary Butcher 3 is, and I know that he is, because, you know, he is. But the one year I played against him, John played, and it was just after the Masters, we were in my house and playing, and I decided that I want to play Ryas for the first time since he was given Reach. I assassinated the Butcher on, like, turn 2, turn 3. With Ryas on her feet turn, just charging, and just one-shot him with crit decapitation. I was like, I'm not scared of you, Butcher. I help Ryas.
Okay.
So then the second game, second round of games. Can't remember who you played, Siski, but
it was some handsome fellow.
Oh, you. So we'll have two completely different interpretations of how this game went.
Should we get two battle reports or just
one conjoined one, like Siamese twins? You can't say that anymore. What are they now?
Twins.
Yeah. Why is Siamese wrong?
Because
they don't just come from Siamaya.
Siamaya.
Siam.
Siam.
Siam. Yeah.
You're thinking of the Saigon. That play.
I don't think I was.
Yeah, I think you were. Blood Brothers of Saigon.
Oh yeah. They're called Guido. The dust of all
the mafia opera is here with his conjoined twin.
I think you're giving too much credit the fact that Adam had these references, but he doesn't actually know the full extent of them. He referenced the musical or playing.
He doesn't know the full extent.
We have to go deeper.
Long story short, I'm not one for blaming dice, but
okay. There were how many tough rolls made in that
there
game?
There was 10. There was the 10 boom howlers, including B howler in front of the butcher, and I thought, yeah, the butcher's a bit far up because he was about what 20 inches up at that stage.
Yeah,
and the adjudicator was a good bit off.
About 12 inches advanced, away from him. Yeah. The second game I was playing Fiora 2.
Oh yes, and I was playing Butcher 1.
And it was exactly Mike P's WTC list.
And I was playing, I was just going for medium base spam, so there was the Boom Harders, Max, Manowar, Shock Trippers, there was Min, Men with Clubs, that's the official term. There's Widowmakers, all the usual stuff.
Men with clubs.
The Man of Wars with clubs.
Bombardiers?
Bombardiers.
No. Oh, Bombardiers?
No, it was Demo Corps.
Right. I couldn't tell because they were being represented in this episode by gaiters.
It was like Man of War. That was part of the tech.
Yeah.
That was part of the tech. Is Demo Corps our Demo Corps until I need them to be gaiters?
No, this is all part of how we wean you into Big Boy Factions. We just let you proxy gaiters so you feel a little bit at home and then slowly wean them away.
Replace them with real models.
Yeah. Until I have to allocate real focus. I was playing two clam jacks as well, which I'm still experimenting with. But the idea is the list is just full of hard targets and they deliver butcher. But anyway, long story short, the boom howler and co. in front of the butcher.
Just sort of dissolved. I mean, yeah. They were one minute.
They super toughed and they were in front of him, and I thought nothing will get to the butcher shooting I thought maybe one or two shots would get to him, but he'd be fine. And they dissolved, and I think I made one super tough.
Yeah, and I was...
one super tough, he went on fire.
Yeah, because, you know, with Fiora, you want things to be set on fire so you can feed. And I was actually...
And everything that you set on fire died.
Yeah.
It's actually a fairly common problem. When I played Fiora, I had the same problem. I was like, okay, so I'll set these guys on fire. Except that every fire thing I meant, I was like, pi 12, so your infantry is technically usually going to die if you roll
well. Well, my dice were absolutely crazy in that game. Because I wanted to clear things off. I clarified how Colossals worked, and then I wanted to clear off the boom headers that were cluttered around the adjudicator.
Yeah, I tried to just engage them with two... And then that was my idea for the rest of the game, was I just throw two up every turn and keep them in place.
Because I had shot Butcher's Focus off with Eris and interfered with my own jacks in the process.
There was three jacks that couldn't get focused because Eris was standing within five of them.
Yeah, because
a lesson that Adam learned at the tournament of Ards. Yeah. We played in the final, in the final third round we played. And it was the first game we played with Iris 2.
Nomad and Renegades.
Nomad, we was playing Mercs at the time, as you can imagine.
Learn Mercs, not because I faction switch.
And you couldn't allocate focus for the first time because Iris was there.
Horrendous,
And then I had the Agonizer run up and you couldn't allocate focus. And then you couldn't kill the Agonizer, so the third round you couldn't allocate focus.
And then I cut my wrists for two.
Yeah, I was the angriest I've seen you in a long time.
Yeah,
yeah. So then the Judicator, the zealots threw into boomhatters who were engaged and hit them.
Yes,
they're def 16.
They get dead iron flesh on them as well.
And we forgot about iron flesh.
Perhaps.
Well, see, Adam iron flesh and then ran. So then, then I forgot about iron flesh when they were engaged.
It
so
worked out
It was totally
too far. Yeah, I'd run too far for iron flesh. We both forgot about iron flesh. I forgot about how far I could run with iron flesh. And we then both forgot what my defense was with Iron Flesh. So
again, I just like the
WTC, WTC, yeah. Please.
I'd like to present to you my team. Yeah. Don't understand how Iron Flesh works. It's a good thing you've switched to Kador. That faction doesn't have it.
If there's one thing they're lagging. Yeah. Long story short, you wiped out the Boom Howlers, and you got a fire on the Butcher and put him down to about 5. And then in the subsequent fire roll, it didn't go out, and I think he was down to 3 at that stage.
Yeah.
So on my turn, I thought, well, Butcher's going to die to flames, so I'm going to charge the Judicator.
Yeah.
And charge them, and under the feet. I don't think I rolled, like, the first die roll was 5 dice for the charge, the feet, and Weapon Master. I don't think I rolled anything less than a 4. There was 4 fours, 5, 6 sixes.
Yeah.
And everything, like, because I think if you do the maths, there's a good chance, but it involves never rolling a 1, 2, or 3. And that's exactly what I did. It was, like, always 4 overs. He completely wiped out the Judicator, and then I ran some marksmen, the Widowmakers, up to engage. Mm. And then the Zealots that weren't engaged were able to kill him. Like, I don't even know why.
Well, one of them was rat 8, like, you know, is...
Yeah, but one of them. But there was one of them who needed 8s. I just rolled 2 dice.
Oh, yeah.
8s. And then this guy, he needs 7. I'll just roll 2 dice. Perfectly, statistically average, but still...
Yeah.
7, and then that was him dead.
Yeah. Well, Fiora was in. Fiora was then in range to.
She definitely could have finished it. She could have finished it, but it was more. Yeah, it was just how much damage you done to the Boom Howlers. So much damage that you were able to then still absolutely mangle the Butcher.
Yeah, it was.
the idea was you would kill the Boom Howlers and not be able to get the Butcher. Not I'll kill all the Boom Howlers.
It was quite impressive, actually.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it gave me an erection.
It's the moral victory.
Made you consider changing to Menoth. Like.
Yeah, then I faction switched to Menoth.
And now I have bought all of Siski's Menoth.
So that was our collective second game.
Yeah, my second game was against Tomek. And he played Osram with...
Osram.
With two... I don't know the names of all the dwarves. 2 drillers, 2 bashers, one of the gun bunnies.
Yeah, the max high shields.
2 main units of hammer dwarves.
Yeah, the tactical arcanist core.
Yeah. I think that was everything. And I played P. Makeda with the Sachari Brick, Malak Karn, Tiberian, and the Gladiator, and Marketh, and the Kreia, which is part of the Safari Brick. Before the game, before we were deploying, he pointed out he was playing a Seer Forge tier list, so he gets to deploy an extra 4 inches, and he was going second, so he gets 14 inches, and he seemed very pleased with that. And then on my first turn, I press forwarded and savagery the Safari, and they advanced 12 and shield vault.
And then dead. You want to die. Yeah,
exactly. And then we both turn into Morrissey. but no, yeah, he was not pleased about that. And yeah, the game ended up being more grindy than I was expecting. Even though I'm playing a brick. But yeah, at second turn, he advanced everything up. He did like 1 combined shot against 1 Satrati, probably 21, did like 2 damage to him. And then on his second turn, or my second turn, I, you know, advanced again to engage all the high shields so they wouldn't be able to shoot me anymore. I loaded up the Kreia from the last turn, this turn, ran him up and cried for no focus, and I caught all his jacks in it, so the next turn all his jacks couldn't do anything. And I moved up Malak Karn to try and do the, I'll savage dream, I'll walk up and I'll hit things, and then I'll fate walker back to safety, that'll be grand. Except I got lost somewhere in there, so I didn't fate walker away, and I was just stuck there, engaging a basher and a whatever the company is. And then I forgot that Osram has bulldoze, and then everything ended up. Malak Karn died by the end of the game.
Yeah.
2
free sets.
And yeah, the game basically came down to he was spending a long time trying to work out how to deal with this because I was just up in his face and he couldn't move.
And it's worth pointing out that, like, a fashionable scatter cushion would have covered every single model in that game.
We were all just in this
It was just everything in the middle smacking each other.
Yeah, every like pretty much every model was base to base because the high shields were base to base.
Yeah.
Under Osram's feet, everything had to be base to base. The Tradi were all there. The only things that were off to any great distance away was P. Pima Kato was able to stay far enough away to make sure she wasn't threatened. And then Tiberian was off to one side, and I had the Gladiator standing in front of Makeda in case something terrible happened and something came towards him. But because he couldn't allocate focus, his Jax just bounced against the Atreides and
just,
over like
2 seconds.
Yeah.
Grand. Yep, go on.
I
need to get the sand in the fridge so I can take it out afterwards.
Is this magic?
No, you basically identify the sound of the fridge by silence, by air, nothing else is talking except the fridge.
Can we keep this in?
Yeah.
Basically, behind the curtain.
You identify the fridge sound, and then you basically say, I don't want that fridge sound. And because it's a repetitive sound like that,
it's easier to do.
It just goes, oh, shoop.
But my fridge doesn't have a sound.
Dun, dun, dun.
The fridge has been dead
it's
for
a
10 years.
It's a poltergeist.
Okay, so yeah.
He's his own father.
Everyone's a ghost. So yeah, by everything grind into the middle of the table, and he couldn't allocate, and over like 3 turns, he was able to kill 2 or 3 Satrati, and annoyingly, and the mass didn't really work out on it either, but he had Osirum standing engaged by 3 Satrati with no focus under his feet turns, so he was armor 19, and I was really annoyed that I couldn't kill him, because, you know, 3 hits... Power 11 Weapon Masters, dice minus 8. Mathematically, it doesn't work. I shouldn't be able to kill him, but I left him on like 6. And I had not a card over here on the left. I say over here, gesturing.
For those watching black and white, yeah.
He's the one in red.
The red is behind the green.
No, he's base coated black.
Base coated black. So yeah, Malakar was off on my left hand side with all these hammer dwarves standing in front of him. And they beat on him for the last turn and left him fairly damaged. With 1 left, it would have killed him, but I just kept forcing him to reroll until he rolled for shit. And then I was like, right, if I trample Malakar over there, I can kill 1 guy that's behind Osirum and I'll be able to kill him. So I trampled. I didn't bother rolling any damage in the tramples because they're all armor 20 and he's Malakar is strength 8. How crap is that?
How crap is Malakar? Give him strength 13.
But there was 1 of the hammer dwarves that I couldn't move my base over when I was doing the tramples, so he free struck me. I basically spent all my fury trying to make him re-roll them until he missed. Yeah, and I was like, re-roll it, hit, re-roll it, hit. And eventually I said, fuck it, whatever, and he hit
me. I think you made him re-roll 3 times.
And
your face after the third was brilliant.
Yeah, I was just like, I just gave up, whatever. Take him, and Malakar died, and I was like, well, I'm not going to kill him this turn. So everything sort of stayed bricked up. Tiberian on the right-hand side was over just slamming models. Whatever, nothing really important happened over there. And then, yeah, on his next turn, he still couldn't. He spent a long time trying to work out how to place everything, and he timed out again.
Is this another game where
I won on clock, yes. Yeah.
That's your tactic. For anyone who ever plays Obes,
yeah.
Obes will always roll very slowly on tough rolls. If you ask him for a stat, he will sift through his cards, he will throw his cards off the table, then pick them up, then sift through them again.
Yeah.
And he will ask you for your name and where you're from and your passport. And then he'll wish you good luck. And then he'll give you the stat you're after.
Just to clarify, Obes is Mike O'Brien.
Yes, sorry. My thing is to never call anyone by their actual name.
Yes, because we discussed this earlier that Adam calls me Obes. And he introduced me to his wife as Obes way back when. And she calls me Obes just because that's what I was introduced to her as. And the reason why I'm called Obes is because once upon a time when I first met Adam, he called me Obes. And I said, please don't call me Obes.
I called you OB. And then OB took too long to say. And it's the same with Cisco 3000.
Well, Cisco is too close to a real name for him to call me that. Yeah. So it has to be Cisco 3000.
I mean, I was introduced to you as Cisco, so that's your name. That was the name you were christened with. So
as we established earlier, when your father was here.
Yeah. Father! I was like, no, I'm not going to call you Cisco because your papa Cisco calls you that. It will be Cisco 3000. Because I like the idea of you as a cyborg as well.
Gotcha.
You know?
A war machine.
I hope to see this in my lifetime. You know,
at least you're
hurtling
cyborg,
through space
robot.
With Sandra Bullock. There's a bomb on the cosmonaut.
Cosmonaut?
Yeah.
Is this Russia?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone who's ever in space is always a Russian.
So
like
then,
if you played Call of Duty, they're Russians. Why? Because the Americans can't do anything.
That's true.
Apart from throw off a Russian invasion.
So then we had the final round, which was obviously between me and Mike, just as the two people who had gone on the
Because John had left.
John had left, and Tomek and Ian went home because it was like 7 o'clock, and they had to drive back to Dundalk.
And then I had to convince Sarah to pick us up.
Because Adam's car only has two seats, and John was sissy's left on the way here, and realised that we couldn't drive him home again.
Realised it was illegal to put three people into a two-seater.
Not illegal, impossible.
Not impossible, someone could sit in the gear stick. Okay. It's a bit uncomfortable.
I guess.
They could swivel on it. So, I had my three lists, which I'm going to play at Slovakia.
Slovakia Con, I believe it's called.
Steam Storm in Bratislava.
Which was recently announced as having free beer.
Yes, there is going to be an ungodly amount of beer there. I don't think they're prepared.
No.
I think they're prepared.
They didn't realise they were Irishmen.
Yeah, I think they do. I don't think they've ever realised the extent to which Stu Gorman will drink free beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be bringing like, you know, fucking flasks.
Yeah. Thank you. Get home. So, I say that with the Irishmen are coming as if I drink loads. I don't really drink. Like that, we were out on the Friday of the Masters, and I had like a shandy, and I was dying in the morning. It was embarrassing.
Are you serious?
No, I didn't have a shandy. I had like four pints, and then one of Jerry's Jager bombs he was giving away for free because I drink free booze.
Yeah.
In the morning, I wasn't like dying. It was just I'm not used to being hungover because I don't drink.
Yeah.
I was just like I do not feel up to this at all.
Yeah.
And I went to a coffee shop and that was gone.
I took it easy on the Friday night, but the Saturday I was fairly...
I drank more on Saturday night, but I think my body kind of acclimatized more by then.
Yeah.
So I wasn't so bad on the Sunday morning.
Right, so our round, I was playing a Resnik list, also from Mike Purrier. So it was Resnik, Judgment of Fire theme force. So it was tier 4. It was 2 Vanquishers, 2 Reckoners, 2 units of Flamebearer Cleansers, Max Choir, Reclaimer, Hierophant, Rax,
2 Vassals.
So it gets the advanced move, it gets the cheaper Reckoners, it gets the free Rax. Can't remember what else it gets. I think that's it, isn't it?
What do you say? 3 Reckoners get cheaper, free Rax, advanced move?
Mm. That's it, isn't it?
There's probably an FAU thing in there somewhere. There's always one.
Yeah.
The disappointing tier.
Yeah, probably Cinerators or FAU or something.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Maybe Rax or FAU, actually. That would make sense.
He's right, yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. Probably.
And then you were playing Makeda.
I went with
Makeda again.
Makeda again, same list as I did in the last game, because I realised that I'm playing Zal, and that's lots of infantry, and he's going to set everything on fire. That won't work. So I went with Makeda, who uses Citrati, who love getting set on fire, because Shield Wall is definitely up at the start of my next turn.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was... Oh, I went first? Did I go first?
You went first, yeah.
I went first, and again, I did the press forward, savagery, Citrati, everything goes forward. Not far enough, even though I went max distance. Siski spent a long time looking at the using the incinerators going, are you in spray range? I don't think you're in spray range.
No, because you were right beside the flag, which was 21 inches up.
And then we did the math and worked out that it wasn't mathematically possible.
No.
But you cheat, so...
But I do cheat, so it's true. I'm a cheater and a liar. And a gentleman from 1954.
I say, I cheated.
But you're honest about it. Or am I? The liar point.
Fake.
So yes, and then we had...
clearly what I should have done was incinerated. Oh, I'm an idiot.
What did you do?
I should have, because they have that combined range attack, and it's an AoE, so it would just scatter onto them.
No, yeah, but what power would that have been?
Its POW goes up.
But it would have scattered, not done any damage, but it would have set it on fire.
Yeah.
But does it?
I don't know.
Is it actually an AoE that targets, or is it an AoE you put down? Like,
no, it's an AoE that targets. It's a combined range attack. Stupid.
Well, that's not that. I don't think that's why you lost the game.
No.
I think you've mugged yourself off the treat.
Since we all moved up, I moved up my first turn, Defender's Ward, etc.
Exchange insults.
Siski went first, moved everything up into position. On my next turn, I can't remember how I started the turn. The only part of turn 2 I remember is I activate Makeda, I put Savage and Malakarn, I advance Malakarn.
That was
I advance Malakarn out of control range, realized that I didn't do the rest of the stuff Makeda needs to do, so Defender's Ward is no longer up in the Citrati. She's still in the kill box. She's setting up 4 Fury. And I was like, oh, what have I done? So I have to I have to hit one centimeter with Malakarn to sidestep back into my controller area, fit walking myself so that I don't lose Malakarn to something so stupid.
I should clarify, I'm not playing Cinerators, they were cleansers.
Cleansers, sorry.
They're all
cleansers.
I may own two units of Cinerators, I do not play Cinerators.
They all look the same to me.
Some people like, I kill one of the cleansers and I fit Aura back at the end of the turn, but I kill box myself. I can't defend it forward on the Sushrati.
Yeah. So what I should have done there was, I failed to get my second vassal to do anything. I wanted to do an ancillary attack, but what I should have done was brought him around to the other side, enlivened the Reckoner, that was a clear target for a Malakarn, let's say, and enlivened him.
Yeah.
So when you came in, you kind of punched the Reckoner a bit. You actually only did 1 point of damage to him, but he could then have moved around behind him, blocked.
Well, Fate Walker's in advance a lot. Well, maybe he would have engaged me still. So, yeah, that's true.
Well, there was...
No, that's true.
And there was one stage where you moved one of your jacks back to shoot at the Strati.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, he ignores Shield Wall, so why not just move in and hit?
No, that was a Reckoner, not a Vanquisher. It was a Vanquisher.
Oh, he was proxying? Who would proxy in this day and age?
That's the one thing, is I ran the Sajati and then realised that, wait a minute, the Vanquishers all have Thresher and they have chain weaponry, so my shield was not going to do anything. And of course, I couldn't cast.
But they can only attack two of them at a time. So
two of them, I can only kill two of them. With my Defender's Ward, I'm doing straight damage. No, raging.
Weak.
Basically the Citrati just were immovable. However much I set them on fire, and most things were on fire at some stage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cleansers actually, well, a Vanquisher shot accounted for most of the Agonizer, and then
second turn, that was the one thing that the one saving grace my second turn was, I was able to fully load up the Agonizer. Well, not fully, even fully, I didn't need fully. Three on him after I used the cry for no focus and the way you'd land up your jacks.
Scooted in behind the Citrati and basically was within range of all of the jacks, so apart from the devout.
That's what the reclaimer's for, and he moves in and...
Yeah, so killed off that and then gave out focus. So that was good. So basically then Tiberian and the Gladiator came in and they were just kicking shit. And
Malakarn
moved up properly.
Yeah, the next time I moved, I actually did Makena, moved, and then did what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I was trying to see if I could get on Resnik, so I hit the Reckoner and then advanced a bit with one sidestep. Realised that the second sidestep wasn't going to get me anywhere near Resnik, so I sidestepped back again and then just bought all my attacks against the Reckoner.
Yeah.
I didn't actually kill him with him. I had to use the Gladiator to finish him off because... Because
poor dice, I think. You rolled triple one.
Yes, I rolled triple one on one of them. That was true.
Yeah.
And
so then, basically, at the end, at my third turn, I had like a Vanquisher.
On that turn, the Gladiator and thing, he killed one jack, and then Tiberian killed another. So there were two of your heavies were down at the end of that turn. And Tiberian at that point had Defender's Ward on him.
Yeah.
The Citrati were already on fire, and I couldn't be bothered with that anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. So basically you had Vanquisher up on the hill being engaged by that fucker tyrant something.
The tyrant like commander being an absolute hero.
Yeah. So and I wasted my ancillary attack trying to hit him.
At this point in the game, it was Makeda was standing in the middle of nowhere within range of this Vanquisher, but he was being engaged by this tyrant commander, so we needed to get the tyrant commander out of the way.
Yeah.
But the only way to do that was either to use this Reckoner, but what you did was you used the vassal to ancillary attack using the Vanquisher to melee him.
Yeah.
And missed.
Yeah.
And then realized, shit, what am I going to do? So then you used the...
Yeah. So...
The charging Reckoner.
What I should have done was brought it, charged in the Reckoner, killed him, and then attacked, ranged attacked her, because I was moving up Resnik to feet, getting rid of the one transfer she had. So then I would have shot with the Vanquisher twice. Now, the first time, obviously, I hit because I'm boosting. And then, hopefully with the vassal. It was a 9 to hit, so maybe.
What rat is he?
Rat 7 with the
choir. 8 then, defense 15.
Yeah.
So 8's on 2 dice. It's above average, but not unheard of.
Yeah, and it still scatters, so it could still hit her.
So what actually helped in that turn was the Vanquisher shot hit Makeda. Left her on 8 and set her on fire with no transfers. At that point, I was really cocky. I was like, well, thank God Warlocks don't get affected by this as badly as Warcasters. At which point, you pointed out that I have no transfers at the start of my next turn. And I was like, balls.
But I completely whiffed the fire roll.
You needed box cards to kill her on the fire roll, but I was still pretty scared that was going to happen.
Yeah.
So she took like 2 or 3 points. She took, you know, she took enough points so that when I cut myself for all my fury back in the next turn, I couldn't cut myself with a full 6. So I cut myself for 5. I spent 3 on Carnage for the extra math just to make sure. Because at that point, Resnick had charged.
In fairness, at that point, I was kind of... Like, I knew then I would get killed the next round because we were told that we had to be ready.
We had to clear out the game sooner because we were getting lifts from...
Oh, nice try. Nice try.
Honestly,
you said to me, Tibbers with Defender's Ward, there's no way Resnick doesn't kill him.
That's what you said to me.
You said, here, this is a super secret
deck. I said
deck.
No such fucking thing.
Our neck plus Tibbers equals dead Tibbers. That's what you said.
Charged in. Armor 23 with Defender's Ward. What's power and strength of Resnick? And he's like, oh, we've got I'll peek on you, I'll get extra dice. And what's power and strength? 17. Dice minus 6. That doesn't sound right. And then we realised that you were a cheating scumbag.
Well, no, I had written in the 4. I had just written it in at a 45 degree angle. So it looked like a 7.
Yeah,
that's
the same thing I did.
I don't know what happened. Because I didn't have the card for Resnick with me, I had to write it down from War Room. And I obviously was... exercising some wishful thinking.
And then Resnick charged in, he didn't.
And that's why
he
had purification in that game as well, because he'd written down.
Resnick charged to Tiberian. He did pretty good, actually. He crippled his mind, I think. And left him on, I don't know, 12 or so boxes. And then the next turn, I cast Carnage with Makeda. I healed Tiberian for 1 down, crippled his mind, and then I pounded Resnick into the dirt.
That's what she said.
And it was pretty good. And that was that. That was the TMNI practice event.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were talking a bit about it today, but like when we're making the team, I mean, we're actually quite lucky because a lot of you guys have kind of 2 or 3 factions to choose from, really.
Yes.
You know. So, whereas I am just coming with Menoth. Well, Menoth's
a good faction.
Yeah, so. It's good. I mean,
still, you come with Gators.
And, whoa, sweet child of mine. No one prepares themselves for the Gators.
Well, we should also point out that Adam was best in faction with Gators.
Yes!
At the Irish Masters.
29 out of 60.
He beat Lenny.
Oh,
no, you came in over Lenny. Did you actually play Lenny?
Right.
That would have been amazing.
I came over Lenny.
Did you play Lenny?
No. But I'm still the best. So Lenny, if you're listening to this,
I'm the best.
Love you, bro, but I'm the best Gator player in the land. Not just in Belfast, land.
Belfast High? Dude, that's what we say all the time, by the way.
This is not a high school in Belfast. It's just an expression.
Yes.
It's not like Belfast, like it's Ballymena.
Rocking in USA High. It's not like that.
No, it's not high. Not like high school or something that is high up.
Let's get back on, dude.
Yes.
I was best in faction. And I was best in faction for minions. And I said, what do I win, Stu? And Stu said, you get the butcher of wherever he's from.
Of
Karchachev.
Butcher of Karchev.
Who is immune to butchering. And I thought, yes, this is brilliant. And then 2 weeks later, I was playing Kator. Yeah!
That's how you caught the Kator AIDS.
That's how I got the Kator AIDS, Kator AIDS.
Stu Gorman.
Although when he got home, when he brought Butcher home, he realized that somewhere at the back of his cupboard of unassembled models, as is Adam's way, there was Balachev.
There was a Balachev. That I have
the campus unit attached with whatever.
I say! You're now a friendly faction.
You work for me, chaps.
Yeah, I have a cupboard. Which I'm tapping. And it is just full of unmade models. And one of those models was Valachev that I had bought for Andrew Brown, who had made me a super class Mollikarn.
Which is super cool. Thank you.
He is super cool. Yes, thanks, Andrew. You'll never listen to this because we'll never tell you that this happened. And
I might if I see you.
And you're on today. Yes, so. I have a stack of unmade models. I got the Butcher, then I looked in my unmade models list and I had Valachev. I have every merc in the merc town of Merkington, and I thought I could run
Kador
for WOTC, and that's what I did, and that's now what's happening.
Yeah, so it's emerged today that I am probably the Crick's drop.
Probably.
Well, and, I keep hearing how Menoth is the magic bullet to Crick's, but I don't have enough knowledge.
Well,
knowledge.
I am also probably the player on the team with the most Crick's experience.
Yeah, that's
sad. Oh, then unlucky
one
joke.
Thing, yeah, one thing we should mention going back to the Irish. Or
yeah,
North,
back
Northern
to the
Irish
meta.
Yeah, is that having so few players is that we don't... There are some factions that are just not represented up here. Crix is one of them.
And yet you wouldn't expect it. Because everybody play Crix down south.
Kyle plays Crix. He's one of the guys who comes to the North Down Wargamers Club that we see very rarely.
He's not going to listen, let's be honest. Come on.
So we can say anything without hooray.
Freedom!
No, but Kyle is the only Crix player we have. And, yeah, I only see him like once every 3 months or so.
And he only plays as Fixius too.
He played.
I know, man. He's been there 100% of the times. He's been there 100% of the times I've been up here.
That's true.
That's true.
That is true.
We don't get people playing different. I mean, every Crick's game I've played is against Jason Jensen.
You've played Kyle before.
Hi, Kyle.
Yes, I have. And I made him a Rask.
Oh yeah.
Rask's
good.
Rask is good.
So. I'm just taking away that win from you a little bit.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah. Rask is better than Lich 2. So, you win with that.
Yeah.
You win with your logic.
I do.
But mainly, most of my games have been against Jason Jensen, and it's the Gore Shades. I don't expect to see the Gore, too many of the Gore Shades at WTC.
Except Jason is taking
Except when I get paired off against
Jason. It's most likely, it is Phil and Jason on the same team, unless Phil plays Scorn, which is a possibility. But
if
it
might
be. Jason was saying that he was trying to play, or was what he was hoping to play, Gore Shades, either 2 and 3 or.
But speaking from a WTC perspective, I think it's going to be Scars and Lich 2.
For our regular listeners, that's Scar. And...
What did I say?
Scar.
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 I've got a scar, hey? Okay, we'll put it in Breno
Pirates.
Vision. Oh, fierce scare.
We shall be playing Pirate Screen Scar. Pirate Screen Scar. Queen's
Guard. Here we are with Pirates Queen's Guard.
So, Mike, as team captain, what do you feel you have to prepare for?
I have to learn. I learned the other day. I'm still not 100% on the fucking format of the big thing. I was trying to explain to my housemate how the WTC format works. I had to keep asking you how the pair off and stuff works because I hadn't bothered looking into it. So, I should probably prepare for that.
I think the biggest thing will be we had. Kind of thought that when it came down to list pairings, when you throw out those two lists and then you pick who plays who, that the team as a whole would be involved, and then we kind of discovered that
it's not the case at all. Yeah, it's the captains are taken off into one separate area. They pick one player to murder.
It's like
a game of Mafia or Werewolf if you play that.
Right, so any consultation you have to have has to be done beforehand.
Yeah, so it's important for us to be telling Mike what we think we like and what we don't like.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we haven't really considered that. But here, WTC preparedness.
Yeah, we have...
Agenda number 2.
So, yeah, I mean, we have, like, 6 months before then. I mean, it's...
I guess, like, we will get to look at every other team's list.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
And the idea is, I keep worrying, when I'm thinking about, like, making a list, it's like, I can't make a list that covers this. But that's the whole point of the team format.
Yeah,
you can put this player against this.
But it's a lot different. I mean, like, Team Poland had that guy, the Kador player, who was playing Karchev, who never won a game.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't win a game playing Karchev anyway, but I'm not sure. I think he maybe have won one game the whole tournament.
Do you have to play both casters at the thing?
Yes.
You do have to play both at the top stage, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a thing?
Yep. You have to play each
team.
You have to play each.
Agenda number 2.
Is that a thing? 80% sure.
No,
well,
I don't think that's a thing because it's a 2-list drop.
Most 2-list drops, you don't have to play both.
Someone here is screaming yes or no, depending on the answer. Yes or no? It's Stuart Gorman who knows everything apart from trolls.
Stuart Gorman, the only press, like, proper press ganger that we have.
Proper press ganger. Take that, all you other press gangers.
On the island. I'm fairly sure you have to play both. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure that Karchev list would not get played.
No, I am convinced you don't have to play both. because it's a two list format, and no two list format forces you to play both lists.
But this is a weird format.
Yes, but it's the idea that you have your two lists, you're forced into who you play, but then you pick your lists.
We'll have to look it up before October.
Everyone is listening to this going, you retards! And it's like,
yes, you've summed up Team Rhode Island quite well there.
He scored one goal today.
So what... I mean, it's tough. I mean, we settle on factions first, right? I mean, what do you feel is the faction composition likely to be right now?
Well, I mean, as it stands, just based on what people want to play, it's Tukiror, Scorn, Menoth, and Circle. I mean, I'm happy enough with that because, I mean, we're going to go and we're going to have a good time. That's what I'm most important about. And I don't think that those factions necessarily are a bad lineup either because it's one of those things where they're like, okay, we don't have a Crix player. I can play Legion if I have to. I mean, that's the thing. I'm still not certain. I've only been playing Scorn for like a month, if even. So I can play Scorn for two or three months before I realize I don't think I can take this to the WTC and I can go back to Legion. But easy enough, I think.
When's the cutoff?
The list has to be submitted by the end of August, I think.
All right, so it's quite a lot.
Yeah,
so we've got a load of time.
But so I mean, I can switch to that if I have to. But I mean. No, it's the kind of thing where you have, well, okay, there's the powerhouse Crixcasters and Signar casters where people are going to be preparing for, so they have hard counters to those specific things. Whereas, even at the Masters, we've been talking to you about this, is nobody really has a specific drop for Kador or Scorn necessarily.
They don't need to.
Yeah, like they don't need to because they're not unanswerable, but because they're not being prepared for, this is probably flawed logic, but because they're not being prepared for, you could go and stand a better chance than playing something and getting a bad drop.
Well, it's like
they'll have counters, they'll not have hard counters. Yeah. That's
it's like what people keep talking about, this Crix conundrum where people are teching against Crix, but you know, if you bring an alternative Crix list, is it really going to make much of a difference? But like people aren't teching against Scorn or Kador, so maybe if you go with a skew, does that make it easier for you? Are they not teching against Corn or Skador?
To avoid on copyright infringement.
Because they feel like those factions generally play such kind of mixed arms, balanced lists that they don't need to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you brought a list that was just Clamjacks, would that really...
just Clamjacks.
There's no caster here.
56 points of Clamjacks.
I spoke to someone at WarpCon, which is the Cork convention.
She had just become self-aware.
She was going out with a guy I knew, and I never knew she played War Machine, and I was talking to her about it.
Talk about your exes later?
Oh, fuck off.
Cut that bit out.
This will be the one episode my girlfriend listens to as well. But
Siski met about four of his exes this week. Like a right lothario.
I didn't meet them, alright?
Meet means something different in your language, doesn't it?
I didn't meet them in the Gaelic sense, alright?
Yeah, he didn't snog them.
Yeah.
He shook their hands and wished them good luck.
I did not.
Like Obi would say. He got in his biplane to shoot down the Jerrys.
No, it's like he wishes them good luck, like in The Great Escape, where he's like, oh, good luck, thanks very much. And he goes, Achtung! And then
X!
And then Nazis.
Yeah, I tricked them into revealing themselves as Britishers. where the fuck was I saying?
I'm going to bounce all over the top of you and just say that what we've been talking about on the way up, on the way to my house, is that there's plenty of countries out there who will be looking to represent their country in how hard they game and how...
No, please, Adam is making the wanking sign with it.
How hard they game all over you.
Fair's hard.
Get a strawberry. And I'll explain that as well. Well, I explain that. I won't explain that. It's from porn. And long story short, the whole thing with Team Rhode Island, I thought anyway, from my perspective, is that it's not just to... Yes, we would like to perform admirably on the tabletop, and that's...
Well, the whole thing, we don't want to go and we don't want to just get absolutely hammered.
We don't want to
go and give a game. Put up a fight.
But another thing from my perspective, at least from my own perspective, is to portray Northern Ireland off the table as something more than this shitty politics that we've become known for.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've got a mixed team you know, we've got the pure bloods like myself, and we've got the half caste like Mike.
Jesus Christ!
Half-caste
like me. Oh yeah, whatever.
Oh, that's been cast aside.
By the way, whatever you thought the conflict in Northern Ireland was about, it's about werewolves, man.
Yeah, werewolves. Yeah. No, but what I want to say is this is Team Northern Ireland, and it's us off the table having fun, talking to everyone who appears. It's if we're in the bar that night having a laugh, having fun, and that's what... That to me is as important in representing your country as, see, the likes of Team America who represent your country is curb stomping everyone.
They have their team of fucking assassins, and they have that other team of
people. You're also assassins.
We're kind of coming into this. I mean, it'll be funny actually to see, because people kind of lump the Irish teams into the UK teams.
Yeah,
Whereas this is a Northern Irish team that is a UK team. You know,
as Northern Ireland, we are part of the UK, but people here can hold dual nationalities of being Irish and British. That is the official stance of what happens here.
And there is an island-wide measure. I mean, you guys don't play in the UK.
We wouldn't have a meta if it wasn't for the south of the wall. If it wasn't for the Daywalkers, we wouldn't have a meta.
You can tell Adam watches Game of Thrones vigorously there with those bang-on references.
The Daywalkers. I've watched Game of Thrones, and I know it's to be the Daywalkers.
In fairness to him, it is the Throne of Blades, so...
That's true.
Throne of Blades? Oh, that's what Stark calls his cock, isn't it? Yes. Welcome to the Throne of Blades!
Jesus Christ.
But when I was submitting our team's application to join in the WTC when it was first open, I got an email back from the organizers saying, okay, yeah, great, thanks, another person being here. Just a real quick question, what flags do you want to use?
That kicked off.
I don't want to just use your the Union Jack. I don't know if that's what you want. And I was in work at the time. I got this email and I checked and I was like, what the fuck? And this is about six months or a year after.
Yeah, this is good.
There was a huge flag debacle.
It wasn't a massive flag debacle.
It was annoying. it was a public inconvenience when the roads were closed.
Yeah, the main thing, it all kicked off because John gave us the Ulster flag, or
the reason why it's a big deal is because in Northern Ireland there was this controversy about whether or not the Union Jack should be flown, or the Union flag should be flown above City Hall 365 days a year, and it was voted in to be only flown on specific days in line other places in the UK. There was this whole big thing, and you have these flag protesters who are every weekend, there's only like 12 of them that go and
I believe they're called embarrassments.
And at the time there were loads of people like roadblocks and stuff, and there's this big deal about flags and what the hell is Northern Ireland's flag. So I got this question, you're like, this is really off can, what do you want your flag to be? And I was like, shit, this is something I can actually offend people with.
We opted for the skull and crossbones.
The true flag of Northern Ireland.
Is that what it is?
No.
I mean, is that what our team flag is?
No, it's not our team flag. Our team flag is...
piracy!
It's because we ended up going with Northern Ireland's FA... No.
Yeah, we went with the FIFA rules, for FIFA our friends rules. Across the pond. It won't mean much, but soccer ball.
Soccer ball.
We went for the flag with that because... The WTC, as far as I know, is ruled under FIFA rules. You're going to hate it, but you're ruled under soccer ball rules.
Yeah.
And it's the flag under soccer ball. So that's
what we went with. I haven't seen it yet, actually.
It's a white flag with a red cross with the red handle on it.
The red handle.
Oh,
his hand off and threw it on the lake.
The one that is, because there's so many variants, is that there's a yellow one, which is the flag of Ulster.
Don't get on the diagonals. Don't get on the diagonals.
And then there's one which is almost exactly the same, except the red cross isn't straight up and across, it's diagonally across the flag. And technically, Northern Ireland doesn't actually have a state flag since our parliament was dissolved in 1972. I remember getting that email and being like, what the fuck?
Long story short, we want to represent our country as it, you know. It's more than the crappy politics we've been boxed into.
Coming up with the logo for the team was a whole another kettle of fish.
the problem with our team is that nobody wants to actually make any decisions properly.
Whoa, sweet child of mine. You are the captain. You make the decisions.
Carry
he's
on.
Getting, he's eyeballing me. For our viewers at home, he's eyeballing me. No, the thing was that we had a great idea, and then it started going into just the most stereotypically potato famine ideas. People get, yeah, what about a guy in a flat cap dying of starvation? Well, lieutenant goes, oh, please help me, governor.
No, there was, what was there? There was a
was a gobber in a flat cap, and I was like, yeah, are you serious?
There was two gobbers. One was in a flat cap, one was in a bowler hat and a sash, and they were beating the shit out of each other for 400 years.
Why'd you display that in the picture?
I don't know, we would have found a way.
400 years later,
it's a calendar with the days falling off.
Yeah, there was a war jack in a balaclava. There was,
that one I actually did like.
Yeah, that one.
That would have been a bit.
It would have been controversial. Yeah.
And then the one we eventually settled on, I hope you like. It's War Machine related, it's and War it kind of gives it kind of gives a nod to it as well.
It's a nod to it without being an obvious nod.
Yeah. Well, the key thing is that the guys can wear it around Belfast without people kicking the shit out of them.
That was the
we
the
want
thing.
To have our uniform, our team uniforms, so that we can actually wear them after the WTC in our home country without getting mugged.
I bet that's not a concern for you, whoever the fuck you are listening to this.
Because
unless you're John.
Because that's another rubbish thing about living in Northern Ireland. I remember, I'm wearing a super dry t-shirt right now. I remember my first super dry t-shirt was green, and you cannot wear green in Utenards. Wear green in Utenards because if you've, well, Siski, you had the pleasure of being in Utenards.
I actually showed up wearing entirely green today.
And it's one of those towns. It's like, we could judge you on your personality, or we could judge you purely on your appearance. And that's what they go for. It was one of those things. I was reluctant to have green in it because, it, unfortunately, where I'm from, that's a big stereotype.
Yeah.
And what we eventually settled on, we'll reveal it to all four of these guests. But
I love actually that there are going to be people who are listening to this and they're like, "What are these guys talking
about?"
Yeah.
If you don't understand what's going on with this conversation, then you are in a very lucky country because you don't have the politics.
We might link to Northern Ireland Wikipedia page.
The Wikipedia page for the troubles.
The troubles that have gone on for 35 years, according to Wikipedia, and they were caused by someone coming in a giant vent. Because Wikipedia is always ruined by someone.
What was I saying before we went?
We were talking about Brad Pitt coming in event.
No.
Logo. We were talking about the logo.
About 20
Yes,
ago.
The logo is fantastic. It is basically.
I had a. Yeah, it's. No, people see it. People see it. It hasn't been finished. People will see it.
It's fantastic.
You will see it in more places than just our logo. What else?
It sucks.
What else are we going to talk about? Notorious B.I.G.
Oh yes, we have to go back to them.
Sorry, our agenda here has been altered. ? Is now Notorious B.I.G.
How did we get on to him?
I don't remember.
I think you said his name was.
No, you said Notorious, some other rapper. And
you,
I said,
it was the white. It was the whitest thing you'd ever said up until the point when you said you had many handkerchiefs. And
yes.
We'll sign off, will we?
Yeah, I think we shall. This is Slunga Fool. I guess Gennairi on Bohar Live.
Did you say any words just there?
I did. So I said...
I can't translate. Chain attack.
This is a goodbye. Oh, sorry. I'll yeah. So, health to you soon, and may the road always rise to meet you.
That means he wants you to fall over.
Yeah, exactly. May you face plant into the road. Apparently it's like... happy travels or something, but it doesn't translate literally very well. This is goodbye from Cisco 3000.
Goodbye from Mike or OB.
Well, no, it's just OBS.
Okay.
Brian Fantana.
Adam Fox. It's his name.
Tim Attack.
Thank you for listening to this first episode of Overload on Tour. Our next episode will be Overload on Tour from Bratislava in Slovakia, which may or may not be seized by right-wing fascist revolutionaries by then. totally. However, there will also be free beer at this event. So however cheap it is up here, just imagine me and Stu Gorman. We've been held back from achieving our full drinking potential by the fact that beer costs money. And when we go up to Bratislava... it will not, and so I take no responsibility
for
our actions.
4 pints that you will inevitably drink. Oh, calm down, lads. Calm down. Chain attack.
That's what the issue is. Your overload on tour, will we be doing another one in Dundalk between now and the 25th of May? If we're doing
that. That's a good idea. Why not? I own this thing, so I can do
I own this motherfucker.
And I now edit the podcast and have the login for the Muse site, so I can do whatever the fuck I want. Anyway, goodbye.
People who say canaries can't act, they didn't see that one scene from
Point Break.
Not Point Break.
Where he shits a gun in the air.
No!
And then it's the Oscar thing. For your consideration. You know?
No, it's not
he
that.
He wasn't in that, was he?
What?
For your consideration?
No.
No, okay.
It's even when you submit a film for an Oscar, at the bottom of the screen, on the Oscar version of it to the board, it'll on text it come up and say, for your consideration, and that scene between that popping up and going away again is supposed to be the scenes that they are wanting them to get nominated for.
Oh,
so the Oscar leaked version of Django, like every
Django.
Half hour there'll be a thing that come up and say, for your consideration, and it will be like Christoph Waltz's... monologue towards the end of the film,
gotcha.
And then it'll go away again.
But there's a film, you know, it was done by the same people that did Spinal Tap, called For Your Consideration.
Oh, okay.
It's about them trying to make an Oscar-winning film, and this fucking weird stages it went through. Like, the film starts off being called Home for Purim, like this Jewish festival, you know, and it ends up being called Home for Thanksgiving, you know, because they it goes through so many script revisions and changes, but it's great as well. Like, they have some really weird things, and it's like, yeah, you never hear that. Like, there's two actors, and they're playing brother and sister in the film, and they have an off-screen relationship, and like, they're really public about it. It's like, yeah, you never ever hear about that. Do you know, like, if it does happen, and I'm sure it does, you never hear about it, and people are weirdly, really weirded out by it in the film, and you're kind of weirded out by it in yourself while you're watching it.
That's weird.
But yeah, it's all about them trying to get an Oscar. And who is your one who was Macaulay Culkin's mother in Home Alone, isn't it?
Yeah,
Sandra Bullock.
Kathleen O'Connor. Kathleen
I don't know her name. I see her in films and go, that's Macaulay Kevin's mom.
That's Kevin.
The worst mother known to mankind.
And when, regardless of the film, at some stage she's going to go, Kevin!
Kevin!
No, so I like how the different disparity here. You go, at some point in the film, she'll go, Kevin! At some point in the film, in my head, at some point she'll walk into a church, they go, da 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 da, and then a child will run out of her.
And the child will go, they're here!
They're here! We've come for a circle on our references.
And then you want to die.
Yeah, these are things for being part of Team NI. Bye! Being part of Team NI, you need to get used to Adam's references. They are.
That's true.
I saw that today.
Layers upon layers
just
of references.
Endless
references.
Nothing you say, it stands alone.
Everything I say is emotionally vapid.
You'd be like, hello. Don't you get it? That's the hello from, like,
but it goes back
Casablanca.
I snuck in to a media studies lecture to watch. Because they watched Star Wars on a massive screen in uni, and it was brilliant. And I was like, this is so good! Yes! And then then they went straight into Casablanca. I was like, oh no! And I had to sit through Casablanca. And then there was a Q&A at the end of it. And I say Q&A, it wasn't the people going, oh, lecture, what did you think on this point? It was the lecturer asking the audience questions.
Did he ask you a question?
And he asked me a question. And I went, I just wanted to see Star Wars. And everyone laughed, and he's like, no, but seriously. And I was like, no, but seriously. And then I left. And that was it.
It's like, Lauren and I did archaeology at school, and that's where we met each other. But she is like so forgetful, and she ended up going to the wrong lecture.
How forgetful is
class.
She? She's so forgetful.
How does she smell?
Every time she tried to remember a name, she drew a blank.
But I was in a lecture, and she hadn't turned up, and I was like,
that was another reference.
I texted her in the lecture going, where the hell are you? You're supposed to be in this lecture. I've signed you in, but whatever. And I've got this like really panicked text going back saying, I'm in a physics lecture on thermodynamics. And I was like, what the hell are you doing there? She had walked into the long lecture and sat down. Didn't recognize anyone, but didn't think. She just thought maybe there's just people that I haven't recognized before. And the lecturer came in and they started right away in nuclear physics and thermodynamics. And she couldn't get up. She just felt she couldn't get up to leave because she would be too embarrassed. So she sat through a full hour and a half lecture on thermodynamics. But the thing I found the best part is because everyone was taking notes, so she felt like if she didn't, she'd be more conspicuous. she took like 4 pages of notes she couldn't relate to when she came out, and I was like, what does this all mean? She was like, I have no fucking idea. I was just writing it down. It was the best thing ever. Because she never took notes in archaeology either. It's like, it's good to know that after 6 months of university, the most notes you've ever taken is from a subject you don't do. Yeah, it was so good.
Excellent. Wonderful.
Right, let's kick off.
Yeah, I think so. Hold on a second there. Just put my phone on silent.
That's intro what, music.
That's what professional podcasters do.
Mine doesn't go on silent. The silence broke.
No, you see... The magic is that you edit in the intro music afterwards. It's
intro
not like
music.
It's not like
chain attack.
It's not like a Bollywood podcast where you have to have the hi-fi there in order to do it.
It's not racist.
I was gonna say, I don't know if we're actually recording at the minute, but we might have to put on very incriminating things.
Yeah, it's all on there.
It's all on there.
Is
ground.
It chain attack?
That we have our own podcast name. We don't have to be Chain Attack, you see.
Okay,
Chain Attack.
Hi, I'm Adam. Chain Attack.
And then you play the music that comes at the end.
We'll do the assassination run music
that they haven't used in like 18 months.
It's ripe for the taking, then.
Yeah, I'm sure the Statue of Limitations.
I've actually never listened to Chain Attack.
Really?
Have you not?
No.
It's fantastic.
It's very good. I like it.
I've got to stop saying fantastic. Let's do on to Blue Table Paint.
Fantastic. All right. So, welcome to Overload on Tour.
Yes.
Or Overload on Air, Episode 10.
Is this an official Overload episode?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's too confusing otherwise. Because then years later, people would be like, well, is that really an episode of Overload? Didn't it happen out of sequence? You know, wasn't it with those two guys who were later jailed for various misdemeanors in Poland?
Adam and Siski.
Yeah.
I always thought you were just going to put it in to like... a middle. Not a logical place at the beginning of the end of a regular podcast, but just like in the middle... Of a proper Overload.
Hello and welcome to Overload on Air. This bit.
No, the whole yeah, this whole,
oh,
the whole
I
thing.
See. No.
I wanted the podcast to be its own series. It had one episode. That was just the pilot.
We'll buy website hosting.
No, but Museum Minis hosts loads of stuff, doesn't it?
So it hosts any old shit.
Yeah. That's how you got a podcast in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. This is weird.
I'm pretty sure that Adam and I are your only listeners anyway.
I will have you know that there are at least one other listener.
At least one.
Everyone who gets told they were slabbered at the week before.
Yeah.
Like, what? You go back and
I better listen
every
this
episode.
Week.
Yeah.
So, Chain Attack.
Yeah, that's starting.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we'll introduce ourselves. We'll introduce ourselves. Okay, go ahead.
So right. To start over again because we got off track.
No, it's not. I need to basically. I can put all of this at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have a clean start.
Clean start.
Yeah. I always have to compose myself. To be honest,
I like it.
It's getting into the zone.
Yeah.